This is Discovery with a K.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
We're back with a new episode of Discovery with a K. I'm your host, Kathleen.
My name is Ilse.
And today we are talking about K-hip-hop.
Kathleen is going to teach us the history
of K-hip-hop. I didn't expect it was going to be this lengthy. So for the purposes of being like, to go in depth, basically, we're going to divide this episode in two parts. Today is the first part, and we're covering from the early 90s up to the 2000.
Yeah.
1999, basically, because a lot happened, like a lot, and that's an understatement.
I'm intrigued. I'm ready to listen. Yes. Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways. So I'm just going to, how is it going to work? Big names, people that actually influenced a lot the hip hop scene. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go into some essential songs that were from these people. So get ready for a lot of classics that were released between 1990 and 1999. So that's a 10-year situation. Let's start. So Korean hip-hop had its start with the rapper and dancer Heo Hyun-suk, better known as Hyun Jin-jung, and he was introduced to K-hip-hop because he lived near the U.S., military base in Korea. Okay. So he got like besties, American besties, and they taught him. Yeah.
American BFFs.
And he learned a lot of the culture, the hip hop culture, the dance culture.
Yeah.
All of that. So he decided to do like dance, he decided to dance to like rap and all of this, right? He met Isoman because he, Isoman.
Surprise, surprise.
I admire him so much. I swear. He's like so successful.
Being the right person at the right time.
Yes. So he met Isoman and he had an audition with him and he passed. Okay. Now,
how was he auditioning? Did SM already exist?
I think he was started to form SM or something.
And he still made an audition.
Look.
Oh my god.
Hyun Ji-hyun and Waba, they became like a group and they debuted as the first dance hip-hop group in Korea in 1992. So keep in mind the stages, there was a lot of like, you know, kind of the, it was a lot of dancing and like very cool dance breaks out of like b-boying and stuff like that. And then some like, you know, the cross-like situation. It was very common back then.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and then boy would be like singing. And it was so cool. I kind of liked it. Okay. It was so cool. It was such a lovely throwback. Okay. So he started this trend that was followed up by like the well-known Seo Tae-jin boys in 1992. Mm-hmm. This was like late in 1992, and we all know Seo Tae-jin boys. They were like trendsetters, but again, Seo Tae-jin was supposed to be more of a mix between hip hop, pop, dance, and sometimes rock, because Seo Tae-jin liked all of that. And I think that his music was, I think he loved more the rock side, because a lot of that you see in a lot of tracks with Seo Tae-jin boys, there's a lot of rock. Of course, there's also a bit of hip hop and dancing, but I do feel that it was more like rock kind of, and also performance based. Awesome as well. If you're not such a gender boys, listen to her intro to K-pop because he was a pioneer in K-pop. Okay.
Yeah. Also, go listen to her intro to K-indie because K-indie basically had its start on the U.S. Army base as well.
Yes, the impact that base had. Okay, musically at least.
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about politics.
Yeah. So, what a group that became very popular and follow up this trend of performance dance hip-hop was Dukes. Douche, I think it was the name. It's a French pronunciation, and I'm pretty bad at French, so I think it was Douche, okay? These two, the two members of Douche, met after working as backup dancers for Hyun Jin-young, and amazing.
Okay.
Awesome. And these two incorporated, like, hip-hop, pop, performance, and they debuted in 1993.
The name is Deux. If it's French, it's just Deux.
Well, I think it was Douche in the video, so yeah. I don't know. Okay, so something that these three acts had, and they incorporated elements of hip-hop, pop, rock, and performance. Okay, so they weren't just hip-hop, okay, just pop. They kind of mixed all of that together, and that was very new and fresh to the Korean audience, okay? So they differentiated their, like, from American hip hop, because I think that they created the hip hop, created the aesthetic, you know, because you had like the hip hop style with the delivery of the lyrics. You also could be a bit of pop, but they also were also focusing like how they looked, the aesthetics of the performance, mm-hmm. how well they danced and all of that.
So with like the aesthetic, what should I imagine?
Like, it was like a full concert, because besides being super cool, they looked neat. So, you know, they debuted like with a really cool concept kind of thingy. So they create this kind of clean performance, and that would be the aesthetic, like clean performance, sort of like very trendy back then.
Okay.
So they created like kind of that way.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So it's very interesting, because you still see the patterns of the new generations, mm-hmm. what the beats that they inherited from that. And I think it's super cool. Okay. I think it's amazing. Mm. Awesome. So we go back, we're going to jump a bit to 1996. What happened in 1996? YG happened. So YG was formed for one of the former members of Strategy and Boys. Got again to Intro to K, but we talk about YG there and the big three, mm-hmm. or the big four now. And the agency, they were like, yeah, we're going to do, we want to do hip hop. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to incorporate like hip hop, like American hip hop and all of that. And they debuted the duo Gino Sheehan in 1997. They were Korean Americans, so you saw a lot of like the influence of the American hip hop in their music, because they were Korean Americans. Yeah. But also they added like a bit of like the Korean side with the lyrics, and mm-hmm. they were like, I think they were fairly popular. Okay,
yeah.
They were like kind of mainstream ish because they weren't like super popular, but they were kind of popular. And then you have the group at 1TYM in 1998, in the same lines of Gene Ocean. But I believe that they were a bit more hip-hop-y, or at least by the tracks I listened. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but they still had the performance aspect of it. Okay? So mm-hmm. they were like hip-hop based, but they also had the performance and the pop. So I would say, like, think about a pre-Big Bang kind of thingy, because I think Big Bang inherited the part of 1TYM and also Gene Ocean. And then Big Bang happened. And then B1 was like hip-hop rooted. B1 was like, they were like, Faye, well, your dragon is an incredible rapper.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to that.
Were they both under YG?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Imagine your biggest competitor is also within your label. Okay.
I don't think they were competitors. I think they were...
They were bros?
They were like...
Buddies?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Because they were all under the umbrella of YG family. So they probably had a couple of performances together, because mm-hmm. YG, that's something that they did before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they actually did it. But well, now let's go to the underground scene. Okay. This is when it gets...
Fancy?
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
So we have also in the 90s, you have an emergence of the hip-hop culture brought more like American style. They were like, okay, hip-hop that we know in Korea is fun and all of that, but it's not the hip-hop we know mm-hmm. from America.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. So mm-hmm. it was more like fancy performance-wise. It was a full entertainment package, you know,
as
they were selling that. So Korean-Americans brought this more hip-hop, like black hip-hop American style to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And in this group, you have big names. That there's two big names. Tiger JK is there. Yoon Mi-rae, known as Tasha, is there. And she was part of the hip-hop group. R&B also, Uptown. Uptown, such an interesting group. Okay, I found out, I know that Yoon Mi-rae had like, she was doing the industry for years, but mm-hmm. I didn't know she was part of this group.
Okay.
And this group has gone through changes, and that changes included even Jessie being part of that group at one stage. Which is shocking, right?
Shocking. Okay.
Yeah. So, thanks to Tiger JK, he created this movement crew, and there was a lot of like underground sort of artists that wanted to get a bit of like meet their peers, stuff like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and movement people that spoke English, people that wanted to do hip hop and all of that. And in this group, you find a Deny Dynamic Duo, Epic High, Isang. And they, with this group, they kind of became mainstream and also very popular.
Yeah.
You know, they became mainstream and they had like a bit more of American hip hop style. It wasn't just performance, it was pure hip hop. They were rapping. And also with them, you also find this trend of talking with the lyrics about social issues, things that were like not okay for them. More like raw lyrics. And you still see that trend nowadays.
If you compare that to like the lyrics from Gino Sean and 1TYM, is it very different?
Well, it's important to mention that they were completely different styles. So Gino Sean, 1TYM, it was more about the performance. It was more about the style because they mixed genres.
Yes.
Okay. So they had a bit of hip hop, they had R&B, they had a performance, but with the crew, it was underground. So imagine cyphers. You know, so you can't really compare the two of them because they were completely different styles. We have like more raw rapping that they wanted to talk about social issues.
Yeah.
They wanted to talk about their lives, their pains, whatever. And then you have the other ones that were more for like, it's not that they didn't speak about sensitive topics. It was more like mainstream and it was more like popular.
Yeah, they had to be more relatable.
Exactly.
To everyone, not just
and that's why they were like more mainstream because they... They clicked more with the general audience.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, other important names through this in this era was MC Sniper, Defcon, Yoo Sun Young, and the duo Garyeon, composed by MC Mehta and Natural, and the music was 100% hip-hop and rap, American style. Okay, so all of this was like up until the 1999. At that stage, we also had idol groups that were doing hip hop, but the thing is that there was a big difference between them because the rap from K-pop was completely different from the hip hop scene. Completely different. They were trying to be more like mainstream. They had like the concept, they had the performance side, and then hip hop completely different. Underground, they were like doing their own things, you know. So it's very important because I think that these days people kind of put them all together, it kind of in the same group. But they're completely different. They're completely different.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I think if you see nowadays, like, K-hip-hop, they still are, like, kind of underground. Sometimes you have a big acts, of course. But you have a lot of ones that are more indie and also more, like... They tend to talk about things that not many mainstream artists would.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If mainstream artists were, like, awesome. But it's just what happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, so let's go for the essential songs of this period because I think it's important to talk about them. And yeah, so we go with Jung Jin Young and Waba, Sexy Woman. This song is
dance. Sorry for the title.
R&B. Yes, yes, I kind of like it. The performance was very much 90s style. You know, a lot of them, something in common with the big groups is that they had a 90s aesthetic, but with a bit extra added, you know? It's like they created their own trend, and it was kind of cool.
What is the extra that you're mentioning?
Imagine as an extra, they had, like, some of them had backup dancers for some reason. And in other times, they were, like, neat. And then in the middle of a song, they would, like, sing a verse or whatever. And then they would, like, it would be, like, this beat would happen, and they would start a dance break in the middle of the song. And it was like a hardcore dance break. In one group, they started straight b-boying in the middle of the stage. And it's like a lot.
I am going to have to listen to all of those or watch the music videos because
It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain.
I have weird mental images right now of like a ballad-like rapping style. And then all of a sudden, there's like five b-boyers that are like
that can happen
and stuff.
That can happen. Yeah, but I think it was very interesting because they are very part of how hip hop started, you know. Yeah. But also they liked to experiment and they added it. One was just one thing. However, from this one, from the hip hop, from their hip hop intake, everything started.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of intrigued about the R&B that came to Korea as well.
Yes.
Because that's also very American.
That is also very American.
I imagine it kind of went hand in hand with the hip hop coming over?
Possibly. But the thing is that when we did our intro to R&B, they were like R&B artists that did American R&B. Mm-hmm. But in K-hip-hop, the inclusion of R&B is more like musical incorporate and blend with the hip-hop. I don't know if you know what I mean. So imagine having this hip-hop verse and then the hook of the song is an R&B verse. Okay. So we go onto the hip-hop beat and you might also get a bit of pop thrown in there. And do not forget the little dance break.
Yeah. Of course, because what is a song without a dance break, especially if it's a hip-hop song?
You know something interesting, that while doing this research, K-pop has a lot of influence from this. So it's like modern K-pop, you know?
Mm. It's kind of awesome. Interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of awesome. Mm. So let's go with douche, or in French, turn around and look at me. These are the ones that started to be boying in the middle of the stage. Awesome, by the way. Incredible. Like, the upper body strength is insane.
The rappers themselves started b-boying.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. It's not like...
Did they have like those over-ear mics? And were they like rapping while b-boying?
I think so, actually. Oh my God. But imagine like big, like this was hip hop aesthetics. Big trousers, you know, the ones that are like hanging, and like oversized t-shirts, like bad boy kind of look, you know. And then
the backwards cap, you know.
They might have had it. I didn't see much of it. Probably.
Like that.
And then they were like rapping, delivering the verses, whatever. And then out of where, bang! Dance break, b-boy did a flip, and I was like, whoa.
I mean, with the b-boying and the title of the song, like, turn around.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why they were like b-boying.
Maybe, like, I'm gonna call.
Look at me, physically turn around. Get the meaning of the song.
I'm gonna be the attention seeker with my b-boying. You know, it was really cool, actually. It was really, really cool. Now, we go to Strategy and Boys. We all know Come Back Home, massive breakthrough. That song, I think that song defined kind of like K-pop basis, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
We have Hyoga, I think is the name. And this song is interesting because it's rock meets hip-hop and dance. And that's the only way I can explain it. It's odd.
Okay.
So imagine this rock instrumentation, but you have also rapping over a rock instrumentation, but also you have these awesome performances of them doing like this, as if they were doing a battle. It's super cool.
Like rock meets hip hop, I can imagine, because like Sick K did something similar.
Yes.
With his one album.
Yes, but this is 90s version.
Yes, but then I'm just imagining where the dance comes in.
Between the verses, I suppose. Is it
before or after the dance break?
Throughout the full song, actually.
See, that's the kind of stuff I have to actually listen to get, because that sounds very confusing.
Well, we're going to link all the videos below. Like, if you're listening to this, we're going to link it in the article in the Cameo, because you need to watch this. And you need to see the origins of this. Okay, it's interesting and it's fun. Now we go with Edgy Notion. How deep is your love? Funny enough, this song is like hip-hop and R&B mixed together. And this is what I'm telling you, that it's like sometimes we're going to have like a hip-hop verse, but then the next verse is going to be R&B and vocals, hello. This one was like, had a Korean touch and the American style. And it's very hard to explain, but you have to listen to it. It's like R&B from the 90s is there, but you also see the same style that Korean hip-hop people, well, Korean hip-hop artists were kind of using.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's why made them popular back then.
Okay, yeah.
Because they were both like, cool, they were bringing something new to the table, but they were also being like, the cool kids, you know.
I think hip hop and R&B verses work so well together because you have the hip hop verses to like share the meaning and like go deeper with your lyrics. And then you have the R&B verse, like the chorus, to get people to like sing along.
Yes, I suppose.
A lot of people just want a song to play on the radio while they're driving or they're doing something. And they just want to, you know, not think about it too deeply.
Yeah.
And if you have an R&B verse that they can sing along to, then that's perfect.
Yeah. I suppose it's a nice blend. It was a very interesting blend back then anyways. And you still see it. Mm. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, a more modern version. We go with 1TYM, hip-hop to the core with crazy beat and a lot of rhythm. But also there are vocals. It's not just hip-hop. You have your verse that is entirely singing. And I was like, this is so awesome, okay? Because you have the ba-bum-bum, ba-bum-bum kind of thingy at the back. Mm-hmm. And then you had this, just, na 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 na. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, vocal work. King.
Something that they did well back then is surprising, listeners, because I swear to God, you didn't know what you were going to get.
Sounds so nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different. But what I find interesting, as I mentioned before, you see kind of some similarities sometimes. Now we go with Yoo Sun Young and Na 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 or Sarang Henuna. This song is super cool and also interesting, I suppose, because it's like American style hip hop from the 90s, very much like hip hop, and he was focused on a lot of rapping. But then the title Sarang Henuna and him, you know, trying to, I don't know, get with the older girl. It was funny. So I'm like, are you a bad boy or you're a love boy? You know? It was kind of cute.
But he loves her though. So maybe good boy?
Yeah, but the thing is that you had to see the settings as well because it was funny. It was very funny. Because it's like, yeah, Sarah Henuna, but he was like the bad boy. He played like basketball and he had like a long.
Because you're playing basketball, bad boy?
Maybe back then, I don't know. He did have the I'm a bad boy look, right?
Okay, that's fair, that's fair.
But then the song, it was like, Sarang Henuna, you know what I mean?
So, all right, interesting.
Anyway, I'm telling you, that song, it's amazing. Mm. Let's go with Uptown and the song Let's Meet. Yoo Mira was here and 90s American R&B and hip hop. That's it. This song is 100%. And 90s hip hop and R&B blend together. Ooh. And it was in it is a co-ed group. It's like Yoo Mira, I think he had another two members that were the three of them were boys, I believe. And nice. Yeah. It's super cool. It's super cool. Also Yoo Mira, we love her.
We have an entire episode of Discovery with a K dedicated to her.
That's how much we love her. Go and check it out.
Yeah, after this though.
Yeah. So last but not least, we have to talk about Drunken Tiger. And Drunken Tiger was a duo made of Tiger JK and DJ Shine. From them, you have to listen to Good Life. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is all the school hip hop and it just goes off. And I loved it. You know, it's like you see now the impact of Tiger JK in the industry.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But you see like you see his impact in the hip hop industry, but you see the impact of groups like G-Notion or 1TYM, yes, or Suta GM Boys in K-pop. So you have the two sides of the coin. And it's mind blowing. I love it. Yes.
It that's why it's so interesting to look back at like the history and like where did the music start.
Yeah.
So that if you listen to like more contemporary music, you can try to spot like influences of the very origins of where the music started.
Yes, and everything gets even more interesting. This is the full list of essential songs you need to listen just to the intro, just for the 90s. It gets very interesting after 2001 with Verbal Djent, Change the Game. Mm-hmm. But for that, we're going to see you next episode, guys, because it's going to get quite lengthy if we keep talking about this. Yeah. Okay.
It's also coming out this season, so No stress. It's coming. Out.
Yes, and of course we're gonna add music recommendations as well because it's gonna get very interesting. Because after the 2000s,
a lot
happened, and a lot more hip hop artists started to debut. So we'll see you next time with the second part of Intro to K Hip Hop. Remember to follow us in the K Meal. In pretty much every single social network you find, if you want to listen to the origins or the Intro 2K Indie, Intro 2K Pop, go and check out the previous season. It's there. They're also kind of lengthy, so I apologize for that. But
look, we're nerds. We like to research.
Anyway, that was it for this episode of Discovery with a K, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.